time for another edition of Why Are You Awake? I'm Paul Farver. I'm your host. This week we have former MLB player Ryan Dempster. Follow him on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Check out my website, Paul F. Comedy, for upcoming dates. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're listening to this, you can go to the YouTube page and actually watch it. It's really cool to watch it now. That's what you got to do. And don't forget to check out our sponsors.
Hey, gang. As some of you know, I used to be a practicing lawyer in Chicago. I no longer practice, but from time to time, I need a lawyer. And when I need a lawyer, I call my friend Scott Shapiro. Scott Shapiro has been practicing law for over 25 years in Chicago. He does it all, from workers' compensation to personal injury, employment issues, and even entertainment law and contract needs. If you need a lawyer, call my friend Scott. 312-648-8800. That's 312-648-8800. Or you can email him at scott@scottshapirolegal.com. Tell him I sent you. You're welcome.
Hey, it's time for Why Are You Awake? Paul Farver here, your host. This week we have a very special guest, former Cub, beloved in Boston as well, also a Canadian. First Canadian we've had on this show.
Thank you.
hosts of Off the Mound, which I'm wearing right here, Off the Mound show, and also host of Intentional Talk, Ryan Dempster.
Thank you.
I forgot the name again.
Thank you. I like the beloved part.
You are
not
beloved.
So much Chicago, maybe, but I mean, yeah, I appreciate that. It's a lot of time here. But to play one season in Boston and have those memories and be welcoming back like that was pretty special.
You got a World Series, right?
Yeah,
you played in the World Series.
Good players on that team. It was nice to be an innocent bystander to watch those guys just run through everybody.
Are you beloved in Cincinnati or Florida, or just like meh?
Weirdly, Cincinnati. I don't know. Maybe I picked up a lot of bar tabs or something. I don't know, but
you don't even
Florida.
Recall.
Florida, you know. I mean,
they don't even know.
For the 37 people that came to the game, you know,
were you at the old stadium or?
Yeah, pro player Joe pro Robbie player. Before that.
Oh, I meant the old, where the Dolphins played.
Yeah, there would be days we didn't get many people. I remember a doubleheader against the Montreal Expos,
mm-hmm.
and the first game of the doubleheader was a weird start time. It was like, I think it was like 3 o'clock or something like that. It might have been 4 o'clock for a doubleheader. It's usually like 1
in 7.
In
Florida, right.
And we counted them. There was 103 people in the stands. I'm not kidding.
I don't understand. I think I've told you the story. I went to a Tampa Bay Rays game. They were playing the Red Sox. Both teams were in first and second place. And I go to the game because I just like to go to all the stadiums, right? I go to the game. Madden is coaching. This is years ago. And I go, what's your best available seat in the front row? Okay.
And, right there.
First and second place. Boston, whenever Boston comes to town, it's going to be crowded. There was maybe in the Tampa Stadium, maybe 400 people when the game started.
Yeah, crazy, right?
All of a sudden, eighth inning, it starts packing in. And it's all these kids who aren't paying attention. It looks like they've never been to a baseball game. They're all wearing emo clothes, everything like that. After the show that night, that's why they had another 1,000 people came in, Fall Out Boy.
Oh, right on. Yeah, the post-game concerts are the best.
Post-game concert brought in more than the number 1 and 2 team.
Yeah.
In Florida at the time. Good. Insane.
Pete liked that. Pete Wentz liked that.
Yeah. He was there. God, that fucking, I passed on them. When I used to manage bands, I have their, when I was cleaning out this stuff during COVID, I found theirs and Fall Out Boy and...
They were looking for somebody to manage
looking for representation with my music company. And the other band that sang Dear Delilah.
Plain White Tees.
Mm-hmm. Also, to be fair, we passed on that because they were looking for venues that booked 18 and under shows. They were all like 16 to 18 year olds. I'm like, all our shows were 21 and over.
So yeah. I love it. Whatever excuse you have to make.
I was nice in the email. I wasn't like, you guys aren't talented.
No.
But yeah, I passed on them. But the other 65 bands I work with all made names for themselves.
Right on.
Not one. Speaking of that time, when I was managing bands before I did comedy, that's where I met you. And we met each other multiple times. But the first time I met you was a late night, which is referenced here in this program. Podcast is what we call it in the new millennium. We were at a bar. Bob Gerber invited us out to this bar.
Bob is an agent, is a baseball agent.
Baseball agent, yeah. He represented
a couple different guys that I played with and then guys that I knew too.
This was like 2000. It was the year you came
on. 2005.
We're in spring training in Arizona. We go to the games that day. We meet him. He's friends with one of my friends. We go out, and then a bunch of Cubs come out afterwards. We start talking to you. We're all doing rounds. We're buying rounds of drinks. Mm-hmm. And
you guys were inside.
We were, me, my friend Dave, you. I don't remember who else was on from the Cubs. I think it was a couple Cubs and Bob and a couple random people.
Yeah.
We were getting rounds. And then it was my turn to buy drinks. And we've been drinking all day. And then it was like probably like 12, which in Arizona time is like 4 a.m. because everything closes early there. And it came time to, I'm like, what are you drinking? I just met you. And you're like, these are gimlets. You were drinking vodka. I thought you were drinking water. You were drinking vodka gimlets the whole time. Didn't even.
There's water in there. Plus the ice cubes, they melt.
They did melt.
You know, that happens.
But it was the amount of time that you were playing and you had to play the next day. And you were telling us about the bet that you and Zimbrano had about every time a pitcher got a home run, you give him $100 or something.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
In batting practice.
Yeah.
And then batting practice. Well, the game, because we had to change the game because Z hit a lot of batting practice home runs. Me, not so much.
So
I get hot every once in a while and wind blowing out at Wrigley.
Right. So that night too, my friend Dave was a very good looking dude. My other friend, they were former athletes, big guys, whatever. As soon as the Cubs come in, the girls that we were with were like, hey, nice to meet you guys. They just ran to you guys and we were non-existent. And I'm in the corner, like just trying to like get attention. Like a mime. I did some mime. I did some juggling, anything. I was irrelevant at the point when you guys walked in. And this was like 2005. Cubs weren't even.
Well, the part that you leave out is twice as many guys came running over. You know,
yes, like that's true.
That's the thing.
A lot of people, know? But
it was the first season.
You weren't, you were injured, so you didn't play. It was your first year. That's where I met you. And then cut to opening day. I go to.
That was 04. That was 2004.
Yeah, that's right. Cut to opening day. I go to Stanley's, which is a bar down the street here. And it's all Cubs fans. It's freezing. Everyone went there for the after party for some reason. And you are there serving drinks with
You're really going deep right off.
I'm just making sure people understand what we're dealing with.
What you're dealing with. What you used to deal with.
What you used. Yes.
Yes. Not what you're dealing with now.
Correct.
Yes.
This was again almost 20 years ago. Jesus Christ. And you're wearing like
I was a sucker. I was a sucker for a bet. Like that, you really could get me with a bet. Like if somebody was like, you won't serve cookies in an apron, you know?
Apron. You're wearing an apron, serving drinks, no clothes on, underneath.
That what had happened was as I walked out, I caught my pant leg on a nail.
Of course.
And you know, like you see it in the movies where it's like, and they just, you know.
It just all disappeared.
The nice part was the front was covered and the back, you know.
Was not covered.
Albeit, you know, could have used a trim. It was.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of our
Canadian
first couple of experiences. Yeah, it's funny, you know. The I didn't get hired back.
not working at Stanley's.
The best
part for me that night was it was all Cubs fans in there. It was post opening day.
Yeah,
no one.
I think later on I turned around. You. To be honest with you, I think I remember at one point I turned around and my manager Dusty Baker was there, and I said, "Hey, Dusty, would you like a cookie?" And he told me that probably wasn't, you know, the best job. I should worry about the job that I had.
Yeah.
And so then I stopped serving that night.
And apparently that night later you guys went streaking too, which Lynn Bramer mentioned on WXRT that morning. It's public knowledge.
Yeah, Frank the Tank. That is.
So you you were a late night person back then.
I was a late night person as a kid.
Yeah.
So I mean, pretty much. My whole life just been a late night person.
You grew up in Canada.
Yeah.
How did you stay up late in Canada? There's no TV. What do you guys have? Just two channels?
If we were lucky, one of them, if you ran the, you know, the coat hanger, the wire hanger, you put it out just right.
Put that closer to you. Put the mic closer. There you go.
Just a little bit closer so I can hear it. Yeah. You'd have, I mean, that's the truth. The town I grew up in was crazy small.
How big?
Growing up. Man, it was called the Sunshine Coast. It was comprised of a few little towns. The reason I say small, not an island, but you had to take a ferry to get there, like a car and passenger ferry boat.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
How many people live there?
Now a lot. Now a lot more. It's developed since then. But growing up, it was very small. The ferries would start at our side at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:20 a.m., and the first ferry from Vancouver over would be at 7:15 a.m., and then they would cut off 8:20 and then 9:15, and that's it. So, like, there was no crime. Like, nobody ever had a card stolen in our town, ever.
Did you lock that? You didn't lock your doors? And
where were you going to go? Wait at the ferry with the stolen car? Like, you couldn't go anywhere. You know, like, and so as parents, my parents just let us go. We knew everybody in town. Like, they're... Our only dangers were ourselves, you know. Right. There was no guns. I mean, there was hunting rifles, but there was none of that. We grew up in a very safe, as far as freedom. So, like, we'd play capture the flag until 11 o'clock at night on a weekend. Like, if it wasn't a school night, I'd have eight buddies, and we'd be at the elementary school, like,
on school nights.
School nights too. If it snowed, let's go sledding down the school hill until 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, like, and get up and go the next day. And so I always kind of, that was just ingrained in me. It was just bred that way. And then so were my friends. And so we're all like that. Like, when we all go out, nobody wants to be the last one to ever turn it off. Like, sometimes
you had to have some sort of discipline in terms of to pursue baseball, right? So
I was hyper-focused on baseball.
Okay.
Yeah. I still am a little bit this way, but you know, the saying, if you're going to stay up with the owls, you got to get up and soar with the eagles.
Yeah.
I live by that. Like, I wasn't going to be...
You don't sleep a lot.
No, and I do need, like, I do need to plug in every once in a while for, like, a good 12-hour. Like, I need to go have a, like... Remember that Chris Farley sketch where he's got a really bad cold, and she's like, you know, here, take this. And he's like, Hyperquil, what's that? And he takes it, and he goes to sleep, and he wakes up. He's like, oh, I feel great. And his nails are like this long, and he's got a beard. He's like, wait, I missed something, didn't I? Super Bowl, you know? And his wife's so awesome. She's like, I got it on tape. Like, I need one of those every once in a while. But so I always just was like that. And then I like experiences. Like, right. Did staying up late always benefit me? No. I made a lot of stupid, dumb choices too.
When you were a kid, you mean?
Or probably. We'll talk about adulthood later. But. No, but as a kid, like, I loved that experience, like, of being able to be like, I'm going to go up and we're gonna play baseball till it's dark. It's the summertime and it's 10:30 at night, because that's when it gets dark up there, because we're up near Alaska when you start looking at it on a map.
That's right.
We're getting up there, you know? We're not that far. You know, like, we don't have caribou running through the field when we're playing.
But it was still light out.
Yeah. Oh, in the summertime, 10:30.
That's insane.
So if you think about that, we're as a 7-8-year-old kid with other 7-8-year-olds, and our parents are just at home or at the bar, or they're at a dinner party, or everybody was fine. I knew the neighbor there. I knew this person there. There was maybe 2,500 people in our town. Right. I don't even. I probably should look that up for when I get asked. But
so what did you do? You would just play out until the sun went down, and then it's like 10:30. Would you just crash because you were so, like, tired from doing everything and just...
Yeah, and I was a TV guy. So
TV shows did you watch in Canada?
Yeah, well, like, I grew up, my dad, we had one TV, you know, it was like the size of the welcome mat or the welcome board that you got me.
Yes.
From Michaels. By the way, I love how you painted it too. That was really nice.
I didn't know you were supposed to paint it.
Yeah, that was great. And then,
This took me 7 minutes to spell out.
And a happy face too.
Yeah, I put a happy face. Yeah. I was going to put your number, but I was like, yeah.
Like number 40, like my phone number. That'd been weird to give that to everybody. So my dad had the TV. He had control of the TV.
What shows were there? I'm not even joking. I don't know.
So growing up, he watched MASH.
Okay. That's so funny. Everyone keeps talking about MASH.
Yeah, that was a big one. And he was into sci-fi. So Star Trek was a big one.
Okay.
Twilight Zone. And then he would watch like stuff like Night Court, Cheers, these ones. So I got those, like, maybe if I was watching late night TV. But I always want, if there was like a game on or there was a hockey, I loved hockey. So I want to watch it. And enough of me begging, I got my own little black and white TV up in my room.
Yeah.
And that's where kind of the love of, you know.
Were those TV shows on at the same time as they are here, like Cheers and stuff like that? Or were those on later for you guys?
No, the same time. So they'd be re-airs of whatever was the weekly one. It wrote, if they went at 9 o'clock here, mm-hmm. they ran at 9 o'clock.
There. Did you have light like Johnny Carson and stuff like that?
Okay. Yeah. And my dad would watch The Tonight Show and I'd watch The Tonight Show and just thought it was great. Right. Cause he's like, I'm getting two birds with one stone. I like Johnny Carson and he's great, but he's also talking to people that I know who those people are through movies.
Ted Danson from Cheers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's something like that. You know, Merle Olsen was a big one.
Oh yeah.
The Chargers, you know, he played football. It's like, this guy's a football player, you know? And then he also is like an actor and it's sure. like, yeah.
And how did you, were you playing hockey at that time?
No,
just baseball?
Everything. No hockey.
Really?
Yeah. Hockey was too, it was too much, you know, like we had, my mom had, my parents, my dad, by the time my dad was, he had me at 20 and my mom had him at 17. He was 25 and my mom was 21 and they had three little boys.
Okay.
You know, and we were not easy.
Sure.
So it was like they didn't have, she didn't have time to be going to hockey practices all right. the time. Our rink was a half hour away. We had one car. My dad needed it for work. You know, it was just not like a young, we're going to do this. But I pond skated a little bit, but I skated like Happy Gilmore.
I just thought that in Canada, when you turn 7, you have skates and you either play hockey or you become a figure skater.
In our town, not the case, right?
Okay.
You had to take ferries to go everywhere. So if we wanted to go play somebody, it was take a ferry, go over there, stay the night at a hotel, right. all that. You couldn't just drive in the cars. You could, but that's a big undertaking. And we didn't have but everybody played. There was a lot of slow pitch softball, so all the parents were playing slow pitch. We'd have tournaments up there. There was hockey. Kids played. Like out in Seashell, the kids all played. A couple kids from my town.
So
we had a kid from my town, a good friend of mine. I grew up with him, still a friend to this day, and he actually just got the job as the head coach of the new junior hockey team that we just got in my hometown. You ever see the, you know those Untold?
Unsolved Mysteries?
No, they're the sports ones. He was the
30 for 30?
Yeah, but it was a Netflix Untold. What was it again? What's it called?
MASH?
No, it's newer. He played for the Dansbury Trashers.
Okay.
This team was owned by the Mafia. There was a Netflix special on him. So,
and now he's a coach of that?
No, he's a junior coach. But he was like, Ryan, I remember him telling me going there and like, you know, basically getting a cash signing bonus. You know, from the owner.
I didn't know they had Mafia.
Jimmy Galante.
In
you know?
Canada.
And this guy, he had like, when there's the NHL lockout, he had NHL guys come in there and they would just beat.
This is in Canada.
No, this is in Danbury in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
But he grew up confused. In our hometown. He played all over the minor leagues. He played minor leagues all the way up to IHL. I asked a guy in Louis DeBrusque. He was a tough guy in the NHL. And we were out in Scottsdale one night, you know, late at night. Mm-hmm. Dusty Baker, myself, him, Chelios, Charles Barkley. That was a fun night. And he was talking, and this dude's massive. And Brad's big, you know, like Brad's big and strong. And I see Louis and I'm like looking up and I'm like, and Brad told me how he fought Louis DeBrusque, right? And he's like, he blinded me for a while. He goes, when he hit me with a punch, I guess one of his knuckles was out and it went right into my eye socket. He's telling me this whole story, right?
And you see this
Brad
guy.
Tells me this. Yeah, now I see the guy who does this to my friend, you know? But he's a really nice guy. And I also know the hockey players and that's just the culture. And Brad, that's what you did.
So you went and punched them?
And I just went up. I was like, hey, you got a fight with my buddy. He played in the IHL for a little bit. And he said you were the toughest guy he ever fought. Like, it hurt a lot. And I said, Brad Wingfield. He goes, you grew up with Brad Wingfield? He goes, that fucking guy is crazy. He goes, I beat the crap out of him, and he wanted to go again.
When was the first time you came to the U.S.? How old were you when you first came to America?
Like to come and play baseball?
Well, or did you go before?
Yeah, like I'd gone down with my cousins had taken me and my brothers down to a baseball game. We went to the Kingdom to watch the Orioles play the Mariners. Then I started playing baseball in high school. I was going to the city. I was making that commute all the time, taking the ferries to go play baseball. So like leave class at 2 o'clock, take the 2:20 ferry over to Vancouver and be there.
That's
until
still so you break. Only went to the U.S. to visit with your cousins and then later.
So then in high school, now I started playing on this team and we played in the States.
Oh, I got it.
We went down and played in Seattle and Everett and Bellingham and Wenatchee and Tacoma and Vancouver, Washington. Yeah.
And was it when you were traveling then, were you like the only, well, no,
it was a Canadian team.
Okay. So when did you start to realize like the differences in like Canadian versus American, like just
August of 1995.
What happened?
I signed with the Texas Rangers and I went to Port Charlotte, Florida.
Oh, is that right? That was your first spot? Oh, I didn't know that was
like, I couldn't get farther away on the map. You know, like think about that, driving 3 hours north of Seattle, take a ferry 40 minutes and then go there all the way down to
Florida,
Port Charlotte, Florida, like middle of the inside of the armpit there.
I'm playing there next month. I love that town, but it's such a small town.
It was super small.
And back then, I'm sure in the 90s, it was even smaller.
Yeah, tiny. It was. I remember we stayed at some little like motel. All the players were there. It was like, you know, whatever, an extended stay.
So what?
And a sushi restaurant across the street. That's all I remember.
They had a sushi restaurant there?
All the time. All you can eat. Go there all the time. Oh, it was great.
I can't imagine it being very good in Portugal.
Well, you needed protein when you were a young, you know, up-and-coming
Understood.
Athlete. Lots of sashimi.
So what did you guys do? You go to Port Charlotte. You're drafted by the Rangers. You're probably the only Canadian on the team, I assume.
Yeah.
What did you guys do late at night in Port Charlotte? Because that place closes pretty. That's a sleepy town.
Yeah, and not a lot. I got out, like go to the beach.
Yeah,
you know that was a fun
right by
one.
The beach, sure.
Yeah, one of the guys I roomed with Sean Gallagher had a crazy high school record, like hit 50 something home runs in high school in one season. It was nuts. He ends up he's now working for the Ministry of Defense. As an engineer, he's crazy smart.
Wow.
Bobby Stiles, ran into him. He's from Hendersonville, North Carolina. His grandmother offered me a dip one time, like a chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Ryan, you dip? I was like, no, ma'am. You can go ahead and have the rest of that. She threw it. Like she threw a little tango. She just went like this and just threw it in there. You know, didn't even spit. She just swallowed it. It was great. I'm dead serious. I don't mean that. That is not a joke. It was.
No, I believe
it. You know, it was awesome. And then... Craig Monroe later played in the big leagues, actually played for the Cubs for a little bit, and now does TV with Detroit Tigers. I think Bobby had his Jeep. He had a car because he went to college. He was a college guy. And so he had a car, and we'd go to, you know, bomb around the beach.
Right.
Whatever, do donuts in the parking lot. You know?
But then what are you guys just hanging out at the hotel?
We rented an apartment together.
Okay.
It wasn't until spring training, actually. I stayed in the hotel for a couple nights, and then I got in with these guys. I remember Parky picking me up from the airport when you could just park out in front of the airport, and he came to the gate and was like, hey, what's going on? And then you just go, like every day, you just go to, it was like camp.
Right.
You know, it was summer camp. And then I went to Hudson Valley, New York, and played for the Hudson Valley Renegades. But it was different because all these guys on the team, the New York Penn League at the time was all college based. So like a lot of those guys were college players signed. It was a good league, but I'd pitch well in the Gulf Coast League. They're like, oh, let's go give them a couple starts up there. And they're going to the playoffs. But I showed up after the games, these guys go to the bar. I'm 18 years old.
You can't get in?
Yeah. I don't even got a fake ID, nothing. I'm just like, I hung out with my host family, Jane and Al Stewart.
Wait, they wouldn't let you in even if you were a baseball player at the bar?
No, I went to one restaurant bar that we went to, like a Houlihan's or something like that, but like different, you know, not like a chain. Sure. It was like a local place. And I remember I had a beer. Like they didn't question anything, but I was terrified of like, I didn't want to, you know, I'm also like, I'm just starting playing baseball. I don't want to ruin something. Yeah.
You don't want to walk around naked at a...
No, you got to be established if you're going to do something like that.
That's later.
Yep.
Were you hurt?
You know,
were you drinking in Canada as a kid? Like, did they do drugs when you were a kid?
Yeah, do drugs? No, drink. Yeah, occasionally.
Okay.
You know, but not a lot. If any of my friends are watching this, yeah, I know I'm bullshitting, but you know, I also have kids. I gotta raise those kids. You know, there was parties. You know, but like I didn't see much hard drugs. You know, I did see some, you know, the white powder, but I saw that when I crossed over the first baseline too. So I didn't stop and try and sniff that either.
I just wonder.
I was too driven.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For sports, there was, I think in my high school, we drank more and smoked more pot in high school than I did in college. And I think that like when I was, I mean, I was an athlete too, no big deals, Division I tennis, but whatever.
Yeah. Sorry about it.
But I wouldn't drink during season. I was like, okay, but
that's kind of how, I mean, honestly, even in the minor leagues for me, that's kind of how I was.
Okay.
You know, big leagues a little bit different because now I'm 21 and it's just like, you know, what would you like?
Right.
You know, We'll get to that, but I moved fast up the minor leagues. Like, it was there, and then the next year, it was from Hudson Valley. Then I go to spring training in Port Charlotte. Then I go to Charleston, South Carolina. I actually did go to the Music Barn and see Hootie and the Blowfish underage.
South Carolina?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I told Darius Rucker about that. We had him on Intentional Talk, and I was like, "Hey, did you play the Music Barn?
That was our hometown.
1996." He's like, "Oh, we would start because it wasn't on the docket."
Yeah, yeah.
And we just I just snuck in and kind of got to take in a little bit of Hootie.
Hell yeah,
it was great. It was really awesome. Yeah, that was a cool. But that was the only time I really ever went out. Even then, like, I would do stuff like, you know, my family came down, but I never went out.
But it was also, you were like the young kid too, right?
Yeah, these guys, and I wasn't like trying to ruin my career by going out, right? And, you know, not giving myself at least an opportunity. I had to ease in and to learn how to drink and play.
So when did you get corrupted?
It's a good question. I would say,
and who
probably
corrupted you? Who do you think was the biggest corrupter slash? You know, there's a scene in Simpsons where Barney was like this.
Barney?
Like,
Homer, come over here.
He was like a straight A student. Yeah. And then Homer introduces him to beer and he turns into this town alcoholic.
Yeah.
Who did that to you?
Turn me into the town alcoholic?
The town alcoholic, but like encourage you to
just
find
a,
your...
a different way of staying up late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say probably if I had to, I don't know exactly who. I think when you get called up to the big leagues in 1998, that's pretty overwhelming.
3 years later, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years later. That was probably it. Like, you know, like, I had good roommates, like, and everybody was driven by the same thing. And then all of a sudden, like, you go to New York and you're getting off the plane and John Cangelosi is like, we're going to VIPs, you know, it's like, okay, cool. You know?
Yeah.
That's a great small town. That was a great night. Like, here I am. I'm from this super small town. I go to New York City my first time. And now I'm going to this cabaret with, you know, a couple other big league guys. And I'm like, oh man, I'm in the big leagues. You know, you heard these stories, you know, and you're getting like just the finger snap service and a table with your own bucket of beer and just go have a good time, kick back and relax.
Right.
And I had to use the bathroom. And I'm like, probably because I was nervous, you know? And the guy asked if we had like a security guard because I needed security at the time, you know?
Sure.
Those 7 starts I had in the big leagues, I was the...
Well, the other players...
I don't even think
you.
I had that many, you know? Yeah, I don't even think they needed security. They were just being very nice,
right?
You know? And so I asked the guy, the security guy, I go, hey, can you let me go use the bathroom? So I go use the bathroom and I come out and he's like, hey, let me introduce you to these guys, you know, and this is so-and-so, and this is like lady smoking a cigarette and she's punching numbers on the typewriter like I'm in the back, you know. And this guy goes, would you say your name was? And I was like, Ryan Dempster. And he goes, oh yeah, I know you. Yeah, I'm Vinny. I'm a bookie. You made me a lot of fucking money today. And we had just beaten the Atlanta Braves and I'd started against Tom Glavine. And
And
Glav, I think, won the Cy Young that year. And I didn't get the win, but I pitched really well in Atlanta. He went like 6 innings, 1 run or 2 runs, something like that.
Did you start?
Yeah.
Okay.
I dueled Tom Glavine as a 21-year-old kid.
Hell yeah.
A double A game,
two months
before that. So it was really great. And he goes, hey, anything you want tonight, I got you, okay? And all I could retract to was Port Charlotte, Florida. And we had a spring training. We had this meeting and the Major League Baseball brought out Michael Francis. Michael Francis laundered money for the Colombo mob family.
Okay.
And he went to jail for it. He never ratted anybody out. He took the hit and he went to jail. And when he came out, he quit the mob. He said, I'm done. And like over $300 million. And so they're showing us this whole video and him talking and reenacting some stuff, you know.
Bad acting?
No, actually pretty decent, you know. I think I know who the ball player was they were mimicking, but I'm not going to say the name.
Okay.
And so they show this whole video and Michael Francis is talking on there about how they get you. And like all they need is to get a little bit of you.
One player.
And so then he's going along and... Then all of a sudden, Michael Francis comes from behind the building, and he in person to talk to all us 150 minor league kids that are all there.
When you're in Portugal.
Yeah, and he was just like, you think that this is like some sort of old school thing? He goes, I just walked through the big league locker rooms. Some guys in there thought they saw a ghost.
Yeah.
He's like, it's easier than you think, you know? He's like, but you can always accept a beer. There's nothing wrong with a fan buying you one beer. So I in like kind of Jason Bourne style, you know, and like went backwards and like butterfly effect. I saw it all and then went.
Thanks,
Vinny. I'll take a beer if you want to buy me a beer. And he got me a beer and all night he'd come and tap me on the shoulder. He'd go,
anything
how you
else?
Doing? You need anything else? You need anything else? You good? Huh? That was pretty awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, and at the time, like I honestly, like I loved like Goodfellas and all this stuff. Sure. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, part of me wants to like be friends, you know, but I'm also,
but you can't do
I
it.
Can't do it.
Yeah. That's how I talked to P. Rose about that.
Yeah. It doesn't work well.
Okay. So you're in New York. When you guys go to New York, that's obviously your first time you're there. You go to VIPs. You're having a great time. I'm assuming later when you guys return there, it's a lot better too, because now you're established. You're now in the big leagues, right?
Yeah. Like return to New York?
Yeah. When you go to New York or any of the bigger cities, like you guys get to go, especially you're a starting pitcher, which I've told people this. I was a musician for a while. Mm-hmm. I do comedy, whatever you want to say, but I think the best job in the world is starting pitching, because you're working once to maybe twice a week tops.
Yeah. You're traveling the country. You're the lead singer of a band that only play, you come in and spell the other singer. Meanwhile, everybody else, like the drummer, the keyboard, everybody's playing, but you're one of five lead singers in a band.
Yeah.
And you come out, cause you're just like the singer, nothing. Well, you're like the drummer more like, cause nothing starts without you, but you know, I guess the singer starts it.
Your analogy, whatever.
But you know what I mean? It's like, you, nobody can do anything, but then it's like, then you're done. You have a really good concert.
And you get to go all over.
And I develop relationships with restaurant owners and bar owners and golf courses, beautiful world-class golf. I love golf. So it was like the chance to go play these different golf courses. And it was a lot of fun. And then you get to know the city too.
Right.
You know, like I love New York. That was my first night in New York. You know what I did on the second night in New York? We took the bus back from the park. And when we get to the hotel, and we were staying at the right at Grand Central Station, the Grand Hyatt. And everybody's getting off the bus, you know, all the people there get autographs. They don't want my autograph. They want like LeVon Hernandez and Edgar Renteria and all these guys. I mean, maybe somebody did. If they were smart, they would have, you know.
Yeah.
But especially, I was like, I gave my backpack to the clubhouse guy. I said, hey, just put that in your room. I'm going to go out. And I went down I wanted to go to Times Square. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to take in Times Square, watch Three Carbone being played. You know, I watched the cops chase him and then run into the cop later at like 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey, like I wasn't drinking. I wasn't on drugs. I just loved the lights of it all. Like,
is it obvious now, if you look back on that kid, were you walking around and people were you like, did it look like you were from a small town in Canada? Were you like wearing overalls and shit?
No. I was definitely wearing the latest fashion from Brooks Brothers.
You clearly had to be, I mean, you're still fucking young. So anyone at that age is going to stick out in New York, let alone someone from a small town, let alone someone from another country.
So you want to take that all the way back. Think about that. Think about me being able to grow up like that, where I had complete freedom to figure things out on my own. Right. Like my mom, super mom, like laundry, all our clothes were always clean. Our lunches were always made. Our dinner was always made. We were up for school on time. We didn't break curfew. Like if we had curfew, we were home at curfew. She did everything. She did all of that. But then she just let us go be boys, you know? And so now when I get into Vancouver and I was doing that, I wasn't afraid of like, I'm lost.
Right.
Like I was, my dad's like the directionally one of the best directional people I've ever met in my life. You know, just like give him a compass and he's good to go. And so I had that sense of where to go. So now when I got to the big leagues, and I'd been in minor league ball, you know, I was playing in Charleston, South Carolina. Then I went to King County, Illinois. Then I was in Portland, or I was in Brevard County, Florida, down in Melbourne, Florida, you know, and then I was in Portland, Maine. And then I was in Charlotte. Then I was in Calgary. So by the time I kind of started the big leagues, I was never afraid of it. I loved it. It was like, let me go. And like, I knew how to move better than a lot of the locals.
Okay.
You know, it was like, I don't know if microprocessing is the right word, but like I always would adapt to that environment too. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Okay, cool.
The fact that you went up to the officer who chased down those three kids or whatever, and you just go up to him, 90% of people would never do that.
Yeah. I was just curious if he caught him, and he's like, oh, who, Three Finger Willie? Nah, man. We just run so the tourists don't get upset. You know,
it's all
probably slips him 100 somewhere. Back then he was, you know,
of course.
Yeah.
So you get to go to all these cities. And like I said earlier, sometimes you get to just chill out. You get to perform and then you get to enjoy the cities.
Yeah.
Right. So, and what are you guys doing now?
They're all different.
Man. Yeah. And now you're 21. When you turn 21, what team were you on when you were in 21?
I was with the Marlins, Florida Marlins.
So you were the Marlins.
Yeah. But the problem is when you're with the Marlins, if you went up to like a door guy at the club and you're like, hey, I'm with the Florida Marlins. Like what? Is it a college team or something? What is that?
It basically.
Are you in a fishing tournament? You know,
you guys could go out in Miami and no one would know who, even the starters, yeah. Like the, whatever, the biggest.
And, we were all the guys that came up after they just won the World Series and traded everyone away. So they're like, you're not the Florida Marlins.
Right.
They traded those guys. Yeah. You were in Double A, dude.
You were 20. Yeah. That's right.
We were all minor leaguers.
Yeah.
That were in the big leagues at first, you know, but still, like, you know, there was it was
name players.
Yeah. We had a few of those guys, you know, like. And we had like great fun experiences. Like you talk about staying up late at night. Like everyone's like, oh, you must go out to the bar every night. And it's like, sure. Sometimes, I mean, that was a habit that different people got into, you know, myself included. I went through stretches but like I was always never afraid or always enjoyed being a yes, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, whereas some guys like they come and that's okay. Like we all have our different paths in life. I got to go to my hotel room. Like, I'm not going to go do this tonight. You don't have to do anything bad. Like, just I remember Kevin Millar got a couple limos. We were in L.A. And he got two limousines. And we were going to his mom's house for a barbecue. And then we were going to afterwards go to Gary Sheffield's house up in Pacific Palisades. Sheff had been with the team previous years.
Okay.
And won the World Series. So still had a lot of connections. So a bunch of us were going. It was like Renteria and LeVon Hernandez and Mike Lowell and Brad Penny and myself and Millar. We had a bunch of guys. And Mike Redman. And so, but it was really funny. We had these two limos and we're in the limo. And on the way to Kevin's mom's, the 405 after a Dodger game, even though they're playing the Marlins, they're still fans. They like the Dodgers. So it's packed. Traffic's terrible. We lose AC. And this is like August.
Jesus.
You know, and we have shirts off when we show up to Kevin's mom's house, you know, down by the Neverland Ranch. That's okay. Where he grew up. Yeah, right down from Michael Jackson's
place. Really?
He said, I never hung out with him.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. but he, so we get there. Now they bolt that limo. And they're going to send another limo. That limo comes. So now we're taking two up because we got quite a few guys. And our limo driver was just, I think he was just bothered by the whole incident. Because obviously when we start sweating like that and you got big league ball players, they feel spoiled, right? There's no way you're doing this on purpose. You know,
right.
We're entitled. How do we not have a limo that works, you know?
It's AC, yeah.
Yeah, but it just went out. Yeah, it just went out. And he was kind of pissed. And then we got in and we're still kind of laughing about it and talking about it. And then he just got really pissed off, right? And he pulls the limo over on the side of the highway. And we get on the phone with the other limo. We're like, you got to come back. He goes, get out. And we're like, what?
What time is it?
We are like, it is like midnight now at this point, like close to midnight.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like sometime between 11 and 12. And we're on our way up to the Pacific Palisades. Get out. And this is like a quarter mile from where Cosby's son had got murdered, got shot. And there was another one recently. Like, and we're like, what? And he's like, get out. We're like, we're not getting out until that other limo's back here.
Right.
So finally that other limo comes back, turns around. We get out. Now we're jammed in this limousine, like all of us sitting on laps, you know. This is a true story. This is crazy. So this all happens, right? Remember where we started? We had a game at Dodger Stadium that day. Yeah. That's how our day started. And we're now at the gate, and we're here to see Gary Sheffield, and he's just calling up. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden, this limo driver starts yelling, get out! Get out of the limo! Get out! And we're like, what? He's like, fire! And we're like, what do you mean, fire? And all of a sudden, you kind of hear like, and we open the limo door, and there's flames. Like, it is a movie set. Both sides. We are rifling out of this limo, you know, jumping out, right? I think Renteria left his satchel, you know? It's a purse, okay? He left his satchel back in there and had to jump back. It was either him or LeVon. I think it was Renteria because I think he hurt his knee going back in there. And this thing is crackling now. And we all get out. And within 2 minutes, boom, this whole thing is engulfed. A white limousine is turning gray in front of our eyes. And here comes Gary in his Range Rover, pulls down through the gate. The guy's on the phone with the fire department. The driver's sitting there on the side of the road. Our limo's on fire. And we're like, our buzz is starting to wear off, you know, like the beers are kicking up. We're clearly not going to go to the trunk for anymore. So we're like, all right, we'll see you later. And we hop all in the Range Rover. We pile like I think nine guys, and we're like in the car with the tailgate down. We're all fired in there. And we just drove off. and left a burning limo in the front of the Pacific Palisades.
I feel, would the limo...
Imagine Stretch the next day. It was so funny. Like, everybody's version of happened. The story. Yeah.
But oh, how did, God. I mean, how did the limo start on fire? Did you guys, were you smoking cigars in there?
I think that it was so hot. No, it was electrical. I think that it was so hot, and this dude was pumping the AC for so long that it had some sort of electrical shortage. Combine it with the fact that we're probably 1,000 pounds over limit.
Like, the car's just over,
everything,
over pressure.
Everything. We just...
I just wonder if, like, if someone Googles this story and there's, like, a whole other version of this. Like, yeah, the first guy kicked him out because he stabbed him and someone used profanity.
The fish just kept getting bigger.
Like, the story is just totally... Well, there's two sides to that story. Demeter sold this version and then, like, on the other side, someone started a fire. Like, right. You guys are like, wouldn't it be funny if we started, like... Kevin's, like, a pyromaniac.
Rubbing two sticks together in the back of the limo. It worked.
Yeah, like, and then you guys started a fire in the first car. Like, maybe a roll, but whatever. I guess I believe your side.
It was honestly, it was really, it, and the funny part about that is, like, I brought it up with other guys and we've talked about it and just let them
it
talk.
It just makes no sense.
And it's, no, it's the same story. Like,
right.
Cause sometimes you're like, did that really happen? that really happened. So then we just went and we were playing basketball and tennis until like 3 a.m.
Yeah. This just, like, hanging out with dudes.
When Gary got traded to the Dodgers, he said, I'll accept the trade. He had no trade clause. He goes, you give me the biggest mansion they got available, and I'll do it. Yeah. And he had it. This thing was massive.
I mean, that's a thing too about comedy. People don't realize, and it's probably way better with baseball. But, like, part of it's just hanging out.
Yeah,
but that's probably the part of baseball that you miss most as a player, right? Like, you get to hang out with your friends.
2013 Red Sox, we hung out in the hotel room as much as any team I'd ever.
Well, I've also hung out with that team of players
all
with you before.
Yeah,
and it's insanity, that group of guys.
Yeah,
and. When the cops came in Arizona too.
Yeah, that's
there's like four.
I was just talking MVPs. That story.
I mean, that's a crazy story that night too, where cops come in and they're like, all right, just keep it down. like, oh, it's all Red Sox. Fucking, you guys just won the World Series. What are you going to do in Arizona? Scott said someone calls the cops on you guys for.
Oh my God. I remember
guitar.
Johnny Gomes was outside talking to them and I walked outside and they're like, oh, hey, Mr. Epstein, congratulations on the World Series.
Can you turn
or like off? If you can't do off, can you go quieter?
I do think that you guys get away with a lot of stuff too, right? And then does that play into it too when you're up late at night? Are there times where you're like, oh shit, like this is gonna be bad?
Well, first of all,
not even just drinking, but just like putting yourself in a situation, even that story that could have gone so many bad ways right now with social media and stuff.
Yeah, well, and like I think it just lended itself to, you know, feelings of, I don't know if invincibility is the right word. I think partly that, and partly like it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I mean, like I made it to the big leagues. You know, that was hard to do. This is going to be easy.
Yeah,
you know, like and I do think it had a little bit of that effect.
Do you
because like the bar, you know, a bar would close and they're like, yeah, sure, stay. That's fine. Yeah. It's not closed for you, you know.
That's actually what happened when I met you that night. Yeah. The rest of that night we had to leave and you guys got to hang out.
Yeah.
And we had to leave the bar. So you guys have, especially when you're at the MLB level, you have like carte blanche in a lot of ways to do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. To some extent, I don't think it was a healthy thing. I will say that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think.
Well, you managed to get out of trouble.
Sure. I got myself into trouble too. You know, right. Like that's the thing. Like I'm the guy, like I was telling my wife the other night, I'm like, my neck really sore. I shouldn't have done all those Chevy Chase falls. Like, you know how many times I'd be like leaving a restaurant. Like I remember the night before. This is like, I look back at some of the stupid things I did. Man.
You could have got injured. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember before opening day at Weinstein and Gavino's, an Italian restaurant in Montreal, and I was starting opening day and we went for a team dinner and I was in crazy good shape. I felt like invincible. I did, like physically. I was like, I just was just working out like crazy. I had nothing else in my life but baseball. No girlfriend, no wife, no kids, no nothing. It was baseball, train, run, train, lift, train, run. You know, that's all I had. Throw better slider. And so we're leaving Weinstein and Venus, and it was an old like Victorian style house in Montreal. And they turned it into this beautiful Italian restaurant, and it had carpet wood stairs that were carpet lined, beautiful, sewn in, you know. We had this great dinner up top, and I was up at the top with, I think, Mike Redman And I just said, hey, Red, watch this, dude. And I kind of let all the guys on the team get all the way to the bottom of the stairs. There's probably
wiped out.
There was either five of them or like 20 of them. You know, it's like, yeah, there was a lot of them. And I just like did the wipeout and I fell all the way to the bottom. This place is packed. And the hostesses and the maitre d' and the people at the bar are all just like, what just happened? And I just get up. Oh my, you know, like that. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine. And I was fine.
I used to do that too before I found comedy. I would get ourselves kicked out of. I'm like, are we leaving a bar? My friends would be like, they wouldn't tell me because I'd be like, all right, he's going to try to get us kicked out.
Well, and I love that physical humor.
Physical, it was fun.
Yeah, like I was a Chris Farley. I loved Jim Carrey, you know, like that physical humor. I'd always run into signs, like fake run into signs, you know.
Yeah.
Like I just always trying to get a giggle or a laugh. Yeah, all kinds
of stuff. It was unhealthy, and then I found the stage, and now I don't need that anymore.
Yeah, every once in a while I look down the table when I'm up there, and I'm like, I should jump. It'd be funny, you know.
And you have the best thing, too, where... You didn't. The downsides of being a late night person is you miss out on stuff in the morning, but you wake up so fucking early every morning too. So it's like you don't really have a downside. You get to experience all this both stuff. So yeah. So like
yeah. Just oh no. You were saying like getting up and doing both. Like it wasn't. Sometimes don't get me wrong. Like when I was a little younger, I liked to sleep in a little bit. As I got a little bit older, playing day games really helped that because I was up anyways. And then you go to the West Coast. I was always up early.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I liked it. If a guy on a team came in and said, there's a concert after the game, I'm going.
Right.
You know, and then that concert led to like, oh, now we're hanging out backstage. You know, so it was like I was always do those things. But then it was like, hey, we're going to golf. Cool. We leave in the hotel at 6 a.m. It's going to be a short sleep. But I loved
it. You made it.
Yeah. And I loved it. And, you know, I remember one time we had a great, this is a great late night story.
Okay.
And we're flying from Houston to Pittsburgh for a day off. And I've lined up two tee times with two members. So six guys total are going to go play Oakmont Country Club. Prestigious U.S. Open multiple times. Beautiful course. Hard. Great experience. You walk. Right. And so we play in Houston. We go extra innings a little bit. And now we're flying up there. We're playing cards on the plane. And we get a really great card game going. One of those ones where...
No gambling, though.
Yeah, no. Well, we were an international error, so okay. It was fine. You didn't need legal. A W-2 but for it.
They told you that was okay in Port Charlotte. Okay, good.
Yeah, you can't gamble on the baseball game. You can play $1 poker, you know, up on there. So we were having a great, but it was just we were having fun and we were enjoying it. We were getting in late, so now we're going from Houston. We're losing an hour to Pittsburgh. It's a long flight, and we get in and we're going golfing at Oakmont on the day off, and it's like 4 a.m, you know. And so the group of guys that were all playing poker just decided, let's just keep playing cards. So we stay up the whole night. And I think it was like, DeRosa, Marquis, Bobby Howry, Ted Lilly.
Oh, yeah.
And we all just
from that game.
Yeah. And we all just go and we stay up in the hotel room. We play cards. We go to Oakmont. And it was spectacular. It was a gorgeous day. It was beautiful. We play 18 holes. We get done 18 holes. And Ted's like, Do you want to keep playing? So I'm like, let's play. So now we play another 18 holes. We come in, the sun's going down. You know, like we have now been up since Wednesday morning. It is now Thursday night. And we get back to the hotel and I order room service. And then I woke up with my room service outside my door the next day.
Just crashed. Those 12 hours.
I couldn't make it. Yeah. I just needed like the plug-in.
And the Cubs got swept in that series.
I think we swept them, actually.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I think that was the one thing that I remember about you was whenever there were nights that you went out late, you'd always win. Like, it didn't affect your game ever.
I think...
Maybe you just knew to sneak in some waters in there or what?
Doctors would probably say it's not the best thing, and I would hence to agree. I think it has long term effects. I think it has short term effects. but that being said, it really does. We get so caught up in the physical aspect of the game and the physical aspect, how hard somebody throws, how fast somebody runs, all these things. But there's a greater power, and it's between your ears. It's your 100%. Mind of what you can will to get done.
It's the mental, And I think that you had a good balance. It's just like people would. When I was in college, they would study drunk and they take the test drunk. Like you just have to.
I didn't do that. Yeah. I never drank and pitched. And but, I tried not to drink the night before I pitched.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you should do, though. That's the next thing. But like
men's league, I'll do that in the men's league and see what happens. Yeah. Although that's standard requirement, I
think you, yeah. I think you have to start drinking. Yeah. That's the thing. Like when they do the baseball league for the comedians, like they're drinking, and I'm like, "What are you doing? We're playing. We're playing baseball. You guys can't drink." But I guess I'm very competitive, so it's very hard for me to separate the two. But
yeah,
you could do that now.
Yeah. Well, no, not now. I don't drink. So
right. Well, currently, I'm sober. I'm
sober curious. That's a thing. Do you know that's a thing? Sober curious. Yeah. I'm not sober curious.
I was sober for, and that's the thing too about staying up late too. You don't, when you're not drinking anymore, it's like there's limited options of what you can do. And so I'm very productive during that time. Are you productive now with like, cause you have to, you have like 22 kids.
Yeah.
And so like
a lot of them,
you have five kids. I mean,
five kids, different ages all the way from, I mean, I'm doing a college visit with my son this week.
Yeah.
And then I'm also, you know, changing diapers of an 18-month-old. So it's a wide spectrum of,
so you don't get to sleep. I feel like the only time you have to yourself is probably late at night.
Yeah. But I love shows and movies. I'm a movie lover and I like shows. So I spend a little time, my wife and I like watching shows together.
Yeah.
So I do that, but I still, like, I don't stay up super late anymore. I do have times, like, that's the thing. Here's how I live it. Now I don't stay up as late anymore, but if I need to stay up late, no problem.
It's not a problem for you.
No, I'm not like, I should be going. I'm fine. It's just, I think it's just how I'm hardwired, you know.
I think your physicality, even as you get older, it doesn't affect you because you were such a physical specimen as an athlete, and then also could hold your own alcohol because you're Canadian. And so you have this perfect blend where you're invincible
for
a while.
The stronger beer up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I've seen that in you even lately. We do that when we did Innings Fest, like we went out hard the night before and the next day you have to perform still. Like, it's almost like it's almost like pitching again. You have to perform your show.
Yeah. And you know what I do really a good job of is trying to, you know, mix in, like, you know, drinking is a weird thing, man. You know, it can get you. And so, like, you know, it's like, oh, well, why do I need to have, you know, 10 drinks? Why not have some club sodas in there?
Right.
And I found that, you know, that's a good balance, but yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's genetic, to be honest with you. My dad's a lot, he can do that. My Nana, she could just, you know, she's a night owl, man. I used to go stay at my grandma's house when I was a little kid and she would watch movies all night. That's where I first watched The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
You know, and I she always had that ability. I remember she came and stayed with me. It was just me and her in Colorado. I lived up in Golden, Colorado, and we had this theater room and she was watching a movie and she fell asleep watching the movie. Right. And I watched the movie and then I decided to watch another movie and like a couple hours go by and all of a sudden she just goes, "You got like a Pepsi or something?" And I was like, "Well, hey, you know," and she's like, and I go to get Pepsi. She goes, and some chocolate too, if you got that. Looks up at me as I'm going to get it. Right. And then she cracks it and she has like a little sip and then she has a piece of the chocolate bar and then she puts the chocolate bar here and does the recliner and just lays back and then starts watching the movie and she's asking me questions about what happened in the movie and I'm like, "I can start it again if you want me to start it again." And she's just like going, "No, no, it's fine." And then all of a sudden she just goes,
"Pass out again."
Back asleep. Yeah. But not a drinker. She wasn't a drinker. Right. It was just like she was hardwired to be able to stay up late. And ideas come like, "Hey, listen, I get creative when I'm up and I have ideas." It's hard. Sometimes I sit there and lie in bed and I'm like, "Why am I not writing this down?" Because there's things happening in my brain. I can't just go to bed and just shut it off. You know, I do better. I keep a book now and I try to write stuff down.
Yeah. The stuff that you would text me late at night. I'm like, "This is great. You should be doing this every fucking night."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like Mitch Hedberg said, you know, if I don't have a pen, then I just think what I thought of wasn't really that great, you know?
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Well, we went long.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
That's okay.
I kept you up late. Yeah. Where can people
find
out?
What time is it? 3:47 a.m.
Yeah, 3:47 a.m. as far as people know. Man. Where can people find out more about you and your upcoming stuff? You have Off the Mound.
Yeah, so.
Traveling with that.
We got Off the Mound.
It's going to be unrecorded after that.
Yeah, we got Off the Mound. We do shows throughout the year. You know, I usually I'm posting them on Instagram at Dempster 4646. And then during the year, Intentional Talk on MLB Network. It's me, Kevin Millar, Sierra Santos. We have a fun time talking baseball.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you all for watching or listening to another edition of Why Are You Awake? Go to sleep.